ahead and grab out your Bibles and something to take some notes with. We are a note-taking church. Come on, somebody. We believe in one day, one year, I will convince all of you of that fact. If you'd like to download the Victory Church app as well, you can do that. Got a fill-in-the-blank version. I always say, if you want to write what I want you to write, you can download the app and kind of fill those in. If you'd like to write what you want, grab out something to put some paper on. If you hate taking notes, just find something to jot down some stuff on, all right? So that's what it is. We're in a series called This Is the Year. We've been talking for a few weeks now about things that maybe show up on our resolution list. So the idea behind the series, maybe there are things year after year that we keep putting on. I told you there was a study that people put things on their list about 10 years before they're either accomplished or they give up. Come on, they just keep putting the same things. And so we thought, why couldn't this be the year that we actually check those things off? We're not deleting them from the list. We're seeing them done. Why wouldn't this be the year that God speaks with us, that he starts to align our lives? That some things we've been praying for over and over and over finally come to pass in our lives. And so week one, we talked about this is the year that I finally get free, that I finally see freedom in these areas. There's always that thing that keeps coming back. There's always that thing I thought, you know, if my life would be so much better if I just could have that gone. And so we talked about it. Week one, this is the year I finally get free. Week two, this is the year I lose the bitterness. This is the year I leave it to the side and I go on without that weight we talked about, just holding me back. Last week, we talked about what's next. This is the year I find my purpose. What comes after all of this? If we're free of these things, if we've left these things behind, then what's my purpose? This is the year that I finally find out what I was made for. And so if you missed any of those, you can jump online and listen to them. Today, I want to finish the series kind of setting our course for the year then. And it's going to be kind of tied to last week. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. Because I think we come out of series like this or seasons like the 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we come out fired up. We've got momentum. Like, things are going to happen. Things are happening already. I feel the call of God on my life. Things are going to move. And then the rest of the year, for lack of a better word, the rest of the year just hits. Like, in the schedules and the deadlines and the general busyness, and it's very easy to get momentum and have that, like, that enthusiasm, and then everything else comes to play, and it's easy to get very task-oriented. And so I think in moments like these, as commitments are about to go to the max, like, as we are about to just go into the rest of the year and everything is going to vie for your attention, I think it's important to have moments like this where we set our course before everything else tries to set it for us. Where we set our face and we ask ourselves, what's important in this life? Like, what do we actually value? I think it's important to go back and list those, because too often times the water gets muddied and we forget all about it in everything else that clouds out our light. And it's a question I want to wrestle with. What is actually the things that matter? What are the things that we actually care about in the life that we've been given and the time we have? Because I think the reality is, all of us, myself included, probably myself at the top, we tend to give the majority of our energy to things that probably in the light of eternity don't matter all that much anyway. And I think sometimes we need to correct our course. Listen, I'm not going to say anything today that maybe you've never heard before. All right, we've even talked about some of these things. So for some of you, this may be like a major life shift. It may be a light bulb moment. I don't know. It may be. But for most of you, I would just say, treat this as kind of a course correction, kind of a way for us to get ourselves realigned. And so I don't know if you know this, but it is actually 2025. I had a moment like a week ago where I was just like, I don't know. It takes us a month to realize that the year has changed over. I don't know if that happens for you. But like, yes, January is over. The rest of the year is here. And so I think before the next month does the same thing to us, it's important to set our eyes on what's important. And so here, with the breath before the plunge, I've got some things that I wrote down, some things that actually matter in this life. I think it's important for us to talk about it. So jot it down if you're taking notes. Number one, God matters. If we're going to ask ourselves this question, what actually matters? What should we actually be pursuing? I would say, number one, God matters. And you're like, well, yes, this is a church and you are a pastor. So I would just assume you would say that God matters. Because here's what you think I'm about to do when I say this. You're about to hear me say God matters and give you a list of all the guilt you should feel about all the things you should be doing. Like all the religious observances that you have been missing. God matters, and so you need to do this, 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 this. You think I'm about to guilt you into like a religious list, and you need to serve more, and where have you been at church, and why aren't you doing more like this, and why? And listen to me. All of those things, the disciplines in your life, that you should read your Bible and pray more, and you should, all of those things are important to your life. But that's not what I'm talking about when I say that God matters. God loves all of that stuff, but that's not what I'm talking about when I say you need to know God. Because listen to me, you can serve other people in your life, and we'll talk about that. You can observe all of these things in your life, and you can get to the end and never actually know him. You can have the most heady knowledge, and I have met individuals who have more knowledge about God than anybody else in their sphere of influence, anybody else in their world, and they don't actually know him. And so when I say that God matters, I'm talking about an actual relationship with God. That is my prayer as your pastor every single day. Not that I would teach you more about him and you would be the most intellectual and educated people on the planet. My prayer is that you would actually know God. And Paul talks about this. He goes on a journey to actually kind of discover this for himself. Because the Apostle Paul, if you had anyone who could check all the boxes, if you had anyone who knew all of the things, anybody who had the head knowledge, it would be the Apostle Paul. And he talks about how much knowledge he has. And watch this in Philippians 3. He said, I did everything. I once thought these things that I did, I did everything that I thought was valuable. And another place in the New Testament, Paul lists them. He's like, I served under these mentors and I learned these things and I did this education and I did these things. I was a leader in this. I was an example of this. Of anyone in this world, I had more knowledge and more religious observances and more perfection in the things about God than anybody else. I did everything I thought was really valuable, but now I consider them, watch this, I don't consider them like an asset now in my life to pursue him. I don't consider them like a stepping stone and it's how it got me to where I am. He says, I consider them all worthless because of what Christ has done. All of these things, I consider them worthless. He goes on to say, watch this in the next verse. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything. Everything else, counting it all as garbage. And I want to take a moment here for all of you who clutch your pearls and do whatever it is. I want to take a moment and just let you know that word that they translate garbage, they are doing that so that they can print this Bible. That word is not actually garbage in the modern day vernacular. The word Paul uses is actually a very direct, very vulgar word that if you were to read this letter, if you were to read this, you would have been incredibly offended that Paul would ever write this in a letter to you. Much less the Bible. Come on, somebody. Like Paul would, the fact that Paul would write this, in fact, it's a word that if I were to say it from the platform today, you would all leave the church and write me nasty letters about how I am so, like, I am so inappropriate. Now, you already write me letters like that, but even more so, you understand? Like, it would be, even more I would receive these things. Because you would have read this letter and you would have been like, Paul, how could you? Paul, not that Paul, just burn that and say, why would you, he said, I'm just making a point here. I think Paul was like, they got to this chapter of the letter and they fell asleep. I don't know, as a pastor sometimes, that's funny to me, because sometimes I'm like, I get to like minute 25 and I'm like, there's like three people sleeping, that's just a thing. And so Paul's way, I won't do this, but Paul's way of waking him up is Paul puts this in here, this word. Paul's like, I consider, for his sake, I've discarded everything, counting it all as blank. So I could gain Christ and become one with him. Paul's like, you want to wake up? I'll wake you up. Wake up that lady sitting in the back row. That's what I'm like. I count it all as blank so I could know Christ. Listen, Paul's list of things he had done that he's counting as worthless, I guarantee you, is larger than our list. I guarantee you it's 10 times longer. And Paul's like, I count it worthless. I count it worthless and I just want to know Christ. And so his conclusion in verse 10, I no longer count on my own righteousness. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ, what God has done through Jesus. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. And he concludes, I want to know Christ. And I want to experience the power that raised him from the dead. It's actually about being in relationship, knowing Jesus. Could teach you for 50 years about God. But my prayer for you as your pastor is that you would have a relationship with him. That you would know Jesus and that the power that raised him from the dead would live inside of you. That you'd actually experience God in your life. So that you would be able to say, you know what? I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was broken, but now I'm healed. I once was far, far from God, but now I'm restored. My relationships were a mess, but now God has restored me. That you'd be able to say that. I want you to know Christ. Paul's prayer for everyone that we would encounter and experience God. Because I could argue you out of a theological position. I think you meet people who are eloquent or people who have the right voice or the right arguments. I think you can always be argued to and fro, but you actually experience Christ in your life. You see the change that comes from having an encounter with the living God. And that will be the quiet confidence then that everything else from your life flows from. Every decision that you have comes from that experience, from being knowing Christ himself. Because knowing God, Proverbs says this. It says that knowing God results in every other kind of understanding. So like you're in this place in your life, you're all the other things flow out of your knowledge and knowing him. All this quiet confidence of the decisions that you make comes from knowing Christ. Because the world will ask themselves questions like, what's the meaning of life? And like, why am I even here? What am I supposed to do? And then they go through seasons of, okay, I'll do this because it goes to this goal. And then the goal is reached. So then what's the purpose? What's the meaning? Why? And they'll wrestle with that. You can't answer the question to the meaning of life without knowing God. Because you have to know the designer of your life. You have to know the one who set things in motion to know the reason that they are in motion. The reason that you were created. Colossians chapter 1 says it this way, for everything, absolutely everything, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. One translation said, all things get their start in him. All things come from him in this life. In other words, God created everything in this life, and nothing will make sense until you ask your creator what you were designed for. When I was in high school, I got really interested in astronomy. I don't know how many of you enjoy like planets and stars and all those things. And so my family, we bought a telescope because it was like, okay, we're gonna do this thing, right? And so I don't know if you know us, but we don't do anything halfway. And so we bought a nice one. We bought a big telescope. Come on, somebody. Like it arrived and you thought it was the rocket to take you to the moon. It was great, all right? And so this thing showed up and we're all excited. We're going to go. I'm going to discover a star. I'm going to discover a planet and name it after myself. Come on. I was selfish back then. It was going to be the most amazing thing. And so we lugged this thing outside and it was heavy. Come on, somebody. Like, and it was really weird shaped. There was this like heavy base about halfway up the tripod. And it looked like you could turn it, but it wouldn't turn. And so we get this thing outside and we're like, okay, whatever. We're trying to like point this thing at the moon. We're trying to do it. And we couldn't get it to pivot or to turn. And so we're trying to like balance it and point it, because I'm going to see Neil Armstrong waving at me from the moon, all right? That's what my goal is. I don't know how it works. That's just the way I'm thinking. Like, this is going to be amazing. And we're like trying to shove like lenses in it and try to see things. We're trying to look and we can't see anything. And I'm not saying like it's fuzzy. I'm saying nothing. Like nothing at all. And so we're trying to fight with this thing, like trying to point it, trying to like just set it on something because it won't turn, it won't point. You can't see anything. We're starting to fight, like Sea of Tranquility, my foot. Like it's not happening. And it's cold outside and it's free. Like we finally just give up and go back inside. Next night, come back out with this thing, freezing cold, pointed at the sky, nothing. Next night, we had a week of nothing. And I don't know if you know my family, but my father, we fixed it. We sold it. Come on, somebody. Like we just... Broken telescope, sold as is, no returns. Come on. You break it in half, you own both halves. That's the way that we... But I'll never forget, the guy showed up to buy this thing. And he's like walking around it, looking at it. He checks the model number, he looks, and he's like, looks like it's never been used. We're like, shut up. And he takes the little remote thing that's attached to it, and he presses three buttons. Like beep, beep, beep. And I kid you not, this thing starts to move. On its own, starts to like rotate. That thing, that base that wouldn't turn was a motor. Everybody, this thing starts to like scan the office ceiling. He's like, oh yeah, I'm tracking Saturn right now. I'm tracking the... He's like, let's see if we can dial in a comet. You know, this is the way. And this thing is like swinging around. He's like, let's see. No, no, the lenses don't open up until it points in this direction. You just put it... And we are looking... You ever had a moment where like you wish you could go back and get a photograph of yourself in that moment? And like, see, because we're looking at this thing like we're the Clampets just saw Beverly Hills. Like we are like we can't, this amazing machine, like it's this thing. We've been trying to force it to do something it was never designed to do. And this guy walks in, three buttons, and he's like, oh yeah, yeah, this is what this amazing thing is capable of. Listen to me, here's the problem. The world looks at you and they're like, you're supposed to do this and go here and see this and love that and like this and do these things and post this. And this is what your life is supposed to be. And you're not good for anything. The world looks at you and they say, broken telescope, sold as is. And you will never understand that you were made for something incredible until you ask the designer of your life, what am I here for? What was I designed to do? Because the thing the world looks at is like that heavy bass that nobody can turn, and that thing that's just a detriment to your life, and that thing that just weighs you down, and that thing that nobody else has any purpose or value to. God looks at you and says, I made you the way that you are because I have a purpose for your life. I put that thing in your life, that thing that was used to grow you, that thing that was used to propel you further than you ever would have gone if it wasn't there. I designed your life, and I've got purpose for you, and you will never find the meaning in life until you go to your designer and you say, why am I here? What's my purpose? What was I designed for? It says everything, absolutely everything was created by him, finds its purpose in him. So yes, knowing God impacts eternity. That's very, very important, but it is also important for this life. To discover, why was I made? What's the difference I'm supposed to make? Because every one of us, we live our life at one of these levels. You are either in survival mode, where like you're just trying to make ends meet. You're just trying to like get this thing going. Your head is always trying to just stay above water, trying to just make things work, just trying to get out of bed in the morning. You're either there. And then there's those who live at the level of what the world would call success. And so maybe like you've made some things work. Like you made some money, or you've got a good job or a career, or maybe like you built your own business, or like you're getting some things moving, got your investments, independently wealthy, whatever it is. Nothing wrong with those things. But anybody who finds success at the end of the day would then ask, what is it for? Like why did I do all of it? Yeah, like I could do it again. I could build another business. I could do another. But why am I even like, it feels after I've completed it, I've checked the box, I've done it. It just feels a little bit meaningless. And Solomon wrote about this in Ecclesiastes. You ever want a read? If you feel that way in your life, go and read in Ecclesiastes. He writes about this, this grasping at the wind, this idea of I've done it all, I've checked every box, and it still feels meaningless. That's because a lot of people make it to this level. Some people never leave the first. Some people make it to the second. But there's a level God has called us to live at, and that is significance. That he's called us to have significance. When you say, you know what, I know why I was made. I was made on purpose and for a purpose. I know my calling. And when I do this, I feel alive. When I do this, I'm making a difference for the kingdom of God. So God matters. If you don't have him in this life, if you don't know him at that level, you start to feel empty and meaningless with the accomplishments that you think that you're making. And what ends up happening, if you live at the first two levels, the survival or even the success, what ends up happening then is your problems start to overwhelm you. And you think, I left my problems back at the survival level. I'm at success. I've done what I need to do. I've made this life work. I've played the game and I won. I did all these things. What's with the problems? Like I should have left them, but listen to me. I don't care if you're at the first or the second one. You live at those levels, your problems will begin to overwhelm you. Because I don't know if you know this or not. It's just a truth for your life. You will always have problems in this life. I just want to put that out there. When I'm not pulling punches, I'm not like patty cake today. You always have problems. I don't care how deep in this life. And here's the reality of it. At the church, we will help you in every way that we can. We will counsel and we will pastor and we will love and we will support and we will help you. But just as soon as we get one problem solved, here's another one walking through the door. Come on, somebody. Like they will always have crazy people in your life. There will always be bills popping up. There will always be things that are happening out of your control. There will always be kids doing stuff they should not be doing. Come on. So there are always going to be problems in our life. You are either in a storm, you are coming out of a storm, or you are headed into a storm. Come on. And you are like, Pastor, I wish you would be more positive. Listen, I am positive you will always have problems. Come on, somebody. Like you are, I am completely positive. Because that's what life, there's always going to be problems. And so what you need is your purpose. You find your purpose. You find why God created you on this earth. And it is so much bigger than any of your problems. Not that your problems go away, but that suddenly you have something that's bigger in your life than your problems ever were. Something that you can focus on. When I do this, when I wake up in the morning, I know I've got a million problems to solve. I know I have those things, but listen, I know what my purpose is and I know why I'm here. And so all of those problems are going to shrink in light of my purpose, in light of the difference that I'm making, that I know why I was born, that there's significance. Some of the happiest, most life-filled people here at Victory are incredibly messed up in their problems. Come on, somebody. Like, they got problems. They got more problems. And I think, like, because of my position as pastor, I have this relationship with them. I think in my mind, like, do you not remember the conversation we had 2 weeks? Like, what they're walking through, what they're doing, like, you shouldn't even be out of bed, much less smiling. Like, I don't understand what it's because they found their purpose. Because of the difference that they're making, that their life, not that their problems are all gone, but that they found something bigger than their problems. That they begin to serve and they begin to change lives. They begin to see, I was made for this. And suddenly all those problems that seem so big begin to shrink away. Because you find significance. You begin to find out God actually matters. Yes, for eternity, but also for this life. To figure out why I was made. Now, when you reach this level of significance, you're going to find it's always connected to the second one, and that is people. So jot it down. Number two, people matter. People matter in this life. Galatians chapter 5, it says, serve one another in love. Watch this in Galatians 5. It says, you were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Don't make this about yourself. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law, watch this, the entire law is summed up. So you want to, this is Paul writing again. Paul who kept the law. Paul who did all this. He's like, yeah, you want to keep it all together. You want to just make this into one thing, echoing the command of Jesus. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you'll pretty much keep it all together. Not difficult though it can be. It takes a lot to love your neighbor as yourself. It takes a lot. And listen to me, we are all in a journey from where we are to where God has called us to be. I believe that. We're all on this journey along the way, but you will never, ever make it on this journey without people in your life. You'll never make it to the end of the journey without people. And I think the problem with culture today, and I've thought about this a lot, I think the problem is we are more connected and isolated at the same time than we have ever been. More connected because of our technology and the way that we live our lives and our communities, more connected and more isolated than we've ever been. Because listen, there are thousands of people who stalk our Instagram page and hundreds of people who like our pictures and nobody who knows our issues. Nobody who knows who we actually are. And that's a problem. We're so connected, but we're so isolated. We filter everything about our lives and we make everybody believe that we're okay. And nobody knows what's going on the inside. The Bible says it's a dangerous place to be. Ecclesiastes, it says a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. If you're going to reach the place God's called you to be, if you're going to get to where God has made you to get to, then there's going to be people along the journey. You're going to have somebody you can be transparent. You have to have a place that you are actually honest. And listen, this is why we do small groups here at Victory. This is not, we don't do small groups so we have another program to run, because we just need some other box to check and it would just do a lot for my life. We have small groups at Victory because they are vital to your life. That you have a place where you can be honest and transparent about what you're walking through. Because listen, I love Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings are amazing. It should be a great catalyst for your life. Momentum and encouragement and passion. There should be, it's a great moment we have on Sunday mornings. But Sunday mornings are not the place that you instantly find lifelong friends. I don't know if you know that. It's just not the environment for it. So then I like turn around and I'm like, hey, find two or three people to give a high five and tell them how happy you are to be in church. That's not the environment. Be like, how are you? I'm great, praise the Lord, brother, but my wife is mad at me. We're in a fight. My dog died. My kids won't come to church. Praise God, how are you? That would just be weird. It's not the environment for it. And for your sake, please do not be weird. Come on, somebody, just please. But you do need a place where you can have that conversation. Like, I'm not letting you off the hook. You do need a place where you can say those things, where you can have somebody look at you and listen and not be like, well, praise the Lord. I didn't know how messed up you were. Oh, praise God. I didn't know I was better than you. I didn't know. I thought your marriage was great. I didn't know mine. I'm going to find five people and tell them how messed up. You don't need that. You need a place where you can talk to somebody and it's never going to go past them. They're not running around telling your business, but they will call you and they will walk through this thing with you and they will pray for you and strengthen and encourage you and see you to the other side. You got to have somewhere in your life that you have someone who's speaking life into you, that they're going to help you grow. And that's important because listen to me, life change happens in relationship. This is where life change happens. I don't care if you listen to 1,000 of my sermons. I promise you, life change happens in relationships. It happens in walking this life out together. Because all of us are on this journey. We're going to have friendships in our life. We need people we do life with that can carry our pain and share our troubles. and actually care about us. You need somebody breathing life into you, because listen to me, God has called you to breathe life into somebody as well. It's what we're called to do as a church. Every autobiography, every memoir, every near-death experience, when people take stock of their life and they take inventory of what actually mattered, every single time, it's about people. People are what will pass from this life to the next. People are the only thing, the only part of this life that are actually eternal. And I believe we have an obligation and responsibility to make a difference in the world around us. In fact, I think even I as a pastor severely underestimate God's love for people. Watch this. Jesus is speaking in Matthew 25. He's talking about the last days, about the judgment. And he references all of humanity standing before him. And he separates those who followed him from those who didn't. And he says this for those who followed Christ. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And all those who follow Christ will look at him that day and they will say, "I don't know what you're talking about, God. Like, we don't even know what you're talking about. Like, what does this even mean?" Like, the righteous will answer, "Lord, we have no idea. When did we see you hungry and feed you? When were you hungry, God? When did we see you thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you as a stranger, Lord, and invite you in? Or need clothes and clothe you? When, God? When was this? When did we see you sick or in prison?" If you've ever heard Keith Green's song of this thing, he's like, "And what were you even in for, God? Like, I got a cousin doing time at Leavenworth. I don't know if it's like, why were you in prison? When did we see you sick, God? When did we see you this way?" And the king will answer. Watch this, verse 40. "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, whatever you did for the least, whatever you did, brothers and sisters, you did for me." I think it's incredible that Jesus identifies with the lowest and the marginalized. I think it's incredible. He says, "I see myself in it. Those are my kids. Those are mine." When you reach out, when you touch, when you make a difference in this world, when you look at those who are at the least, when you did it for them, you did it for me. And I think sometimes we underestimate the love of God for people. God matters. Yes, in this life. Yes, for eternity. People matter. Because number three, eternity matters. Amen. Reality is all of us will slip from this life. We will all stand before our Creator. That is a reality. All of us. And we will face this reality. We will face, did we live this life or for eternity? And Jesus warned the people he's speaking to in Luke chapter 12. Watch this. He said, "Watch out. Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed about making life about this life, about making life about ourselves." Jesus is like, watch out, be on your guard. Don't make life about, watch out. Life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. It's not in your titles that you can make. It's not in the things that you can heap up. It's not in the greed and the self-focused life that you can live. It's not about what you can achieve in this life. We have to remember this life is not about this life. So too often times we focus, we get our eyes down. We come out of seasons like this with our eyes focused on eternity and all the cares and the busyness of this life, get our eyes back down. And we focus on the things about ourselves. Jesus is speaking and he's saying, watch out. In the next few verses, he talks about a man who reaches that level we talked about, that middle level of success. And it says he makes so much that he can't even fit the things that he made. Like, he stuffs all his barns and he's like, I can't even. His house is just overflowing with stuff. That'll speak to somebody. Come on. And he's like, I can't even fit all these things. And now if he lived in today's culture, he'd have gone and got himself like 8 self-storage pods. But it says he builds more barns to fit the things that he has. And he's like, and I can't even fit him in those. So I'll build more houses and more barns and more things. And I'll keep stuffing them. But he wasn't. He was rich in this life, but he wasn't rich towards God. And he wasn't rich towards people. And he didn't do anything to make a difference. Everything was about himself. And Jesus calls this person. He calls him a fool. You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. And then who's going to use all the stuff that you've heaped up? Yeah, you did all the stuff that the world calls success. You got to that second level and you're living there. You camped out there. You built 85 barns at that level. But then who's going to use all the stuff that you planned, prepared for yourself? Listen, you have made this little time that's left. You made it about yourself. You made it about yourself. And you forgot about God, and you forgot about people, and you forgot about eternity. And you said, this will be how it will be. This is going to be how it is for anyone. Anyone who stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. Listen, church, this life is not about this life. You are made on purpose and for a purpose. And we need to remember that God matters. Yes, for eternity. Yes, for right now, to know why we were created. And we can never forget that eternity is coming. No matter how much time we have left on this planet, it's not enough. We need to remember we're called to make a difference. And we need to realize that you and I, we're going to slip into eternity one day. And we'll come face to face with our Maker, and He'll ask the question, what'd you do? What'd you do with the things that I gave you? Did you leverage everything that you had to make a difference? Did you rescue as many people as you could rescue? Did you do what you could to serve and to love and to make a difference and an impact in this world? Church, let this be the year that we change our perspective. Bow your heads with me as we pray today. I want to pray that God would help us to live for what matters most. That God would give us eyes for eternity. That we would begin to recognize that God matters, that people matter, that eternity is coming. That we are so much closer than we think we are. Before I pray that, though, I want to give an invitation for those that are here and you feel like you are far from God. And so you hear messages like this and you're like, yeah, the designer of my life. Yeah, the one who has purpose for me. That sounds great, but you don't understand, Ben. I am a million miles away from God. Like, even if I cared about His purpose for me, even if I could get my way to make my life around it, I'm too far gone to ever make it back to whatever it is He had for me. And listen to me. I don't care what you think you did. I don't care what bridge you think you burned. I don't care how far you think you ran. I don't care about any of that stuff. I want you to know that God loves you. God wants you. That it's never too late to be who you might have been. That God still has purpose for your life. That God still has a plan for your life, an impact for you to make on this world. Some of you may have just wandered in here and you're saying, I'm just asking myself, what's the meaning to life? I'm just trying to figure out, why am I even here? I'm just trying, I don't know what I believe, and I don't know. Listen to me, you will never, ever find your purpose apart from God. That He designed you, that He created you, that He has a love and a purpose for your life that can change you, that you can't even possibly imagine the things that God has for you. That He can take you and make you brand new. He can set you on a course that you can make an impact with your life. So if you're in either of those places, you say, well, then what should I do? How can I be saved? How can I be made new? Listen to me. It's not about joining a church. It's not about checking the box off a list of good deeds. It's not about any of that stuff. Listen, it is surrender to Him. The Bible says God sent Jesus. The Father sent His Son to die in our place that anyone could call on the name of Jesus and be saved. You say, that's me. I want to be saved. You know what you need to do is to call on the name of Jesus. Every Sunday, our church, we do this together. We call on His name. Nobody is perfect. Nobody is outside our propensity. Nobody has made themselves so wonderful that they don't need Jesus. All of us have come to the place that we say, God, I can't do it on my own. I need You. You say, what does it take to be saved? Call on His name. Do it with us right now. It's our honor to pray this with every person who wants to surrender. Because we know how messed up we are. We know how in need of a Savior we are. So pray this with us right now. In church, we pray this. No one prays alone. Say these words. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all of my sin, my mistakes. I repent. I believe You died on the cross, and I believe You rose again, and I make You the Lord of my life. Now, Father, I thank You for every precious person here, God. I thank You for the purpose and the plans that You have for their lives. God, I pray we would continually know You. We would draw our purpose from You. We would live out our life in the confidence that we know Jesus and His power lives inside of us. That we would make an impact. That we would never forget that God matters. We would never forget, Father, the impact we can have on the people around us. Always sharing the gospel. Always having influence. Always making sure that they also know Jesus. Lord, that we would live this journey in relationship. We would understand that people matter. Not only that they're breathing life into us, but that we are doing it for them as well, God. That you are the God who created us. Lord, that we were created to be in relationship. Always, always remembering that eternity is coming. That we are all one breath away. If you have called us to lift up our eyes to the harvest, to see eternity for what it is, that we would always live with that sense of purpose. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's children said amen and amen. Come on, can we give God praise for what he's done today?